said a little earlier, our theme today is going to be growing gratitude. And challenge with gratitude, you know, I think in our heads we all know that gratitude is a good thing, that we should be thankful. And in our heads we say we are thankful, but quite oftentimes that there are so many other things going on around us that this awareness of gratitude kind of goes out the window. Not that we ever stop being thankful, but we just cease to be aware of God's goodness, and we cease to be aware of all that we have to be thankful for, and we only become kind of focused on all the things that we're missing, or all the things that we lack, or all the things that are not as they ought to be. And because they're not as they ought to be, they become problematic for us, and we get in this state of agitation. Maybe I'm the only one, but I think that's kind of common for us, that we get agitated, and there's a sense of desperation, or all is lost, when in fact, the Bible over and over again reminds us of God's faithfulness, his love which endures forever, that constancy that is intended to be for us, that helps us then sail through the waves of doubt, and sail through the waves of loss, and sail through the times of difficulty, not being overwhelmed by them. But it is this thing called gratitude that often kind of eludes us. I mean, I know we do things like have a Thanksgiving Day once a year to be reminded that God is good all the time, and we do so once a year. But this is an invitation to something more. What it gets in our way, it's usually that we don't get really what we want. If our goal in life is perfection, our destination will be disappointment. I hate to say it to you that way. Maybe you want to write it down. If our goal in life is perfection, our destination will be disappointment. Because we're going to find out that we're not perfect, and those around us are not perfect. And life does not always go in the path or in the way that we want. Life will always come with twists, always come with hurts, always come with loss. But that doesn't stop us from wanting more, is it? That constancy, that desire for that perfection always gets in our way. Philosopher of the 20th century, Mick Jagger, once said this: "You can't always get what you want." There you go. Some of you guys have heard him before. You know, I try to read the Bible as much as I can, but I've got these old Rolling Stone tunes running around in my head all the time. Isn't it weird? You got songs that you grew up listening to, and you can still remember every word, but you try to memorize a Bible verse, and it's impossible. About the same time, another fellow, this is not Mick, this is a fellow by the name of Rabbi Schachtel, and I got the name right at least, said this: "The happiness is not having what you want." This is the good news. "But it's wanting what you have." Okay, you may want to write that one down. I think you all know the Mick Jagger one, but this one's a keeper. Because it's true, and I think that's part of what this pattern that we're going to look at today, that as we look at the Psalms as a way of trying to help us balance our emotions, to begin to navigate through life, Psalm 136 is a good pattern for us. It is a prayer pattern for us, ancient prayer pattern for us, that begins to help us get a sense of what it is that we need, and being clearly thankful for what we have. You know, it's hard for us, though, because we tend to forget what we have. We tend to forget, not only are we not always happy with what we have, but we tend to forget what we have and what is good there. Have you noticed how when we talk about this, you know, how forgetful we can become, we come up with all these clever little words. You miss an appointment, and what do you say? Anyone? Okay, I'll tell you. Number one, it slipped my mind. Really? You know, maybe we need a sign, you know, slippery when wet. Put it up and just paste it on the side of our brain, because it's just, How did it slip your mind? Or if someone reminds you of something, but it's not clicking, you're not remembering it, we say what? Anyone?
I'm sorry, Senator, I have no recollection.
Yeah, yes. Well, some people say that. Very good, Scott. For those who couldn't hear on the live stream, he said, I'm sorry, Senator, I have no recollection of that. Yes, I appreciate that. That's, you know, that wasn't one of my lists here, though, Scott. But that, I want to add that to my list. This, mine was this. It doesn't ring a bell. Really? Think about that. I mean, that's a euphemism, right? It's not real. There's not really a bell in your head ringing when you remember something, but it's one of those weird things we say. Or if you're talking about something like I was just doing a while ago and I forgot where I was going with it, we say, I lost my train of thought. Like there's a locomotive running through my head. Choo-choo! You know, what's that about? Where are these phrases? We're so clever in the way that we, or if somebody else doesn't remember what you told them, we say, in one ear and out the other, right? You never say that about yourself. It is from experience. It is one ear out the other. And it's usually your husband, Val. Not specifically you. It's not specifically Dick. It is Dick. Okay, yeah, it specifically is you, Dick. Okay. Or this is the one I'm coming to really enjoy, because when I'm not thinking straight and maybe I'm forgetting something, now the excuse has become, I'm having a senior moment. There we go. Yeah, you know, those. You know, we come up with these little things to say, you know, we kind of laugh at ourselves. They're clever, they're funny. Yeah, Scott? Etch-a-sketch brainitis. Yeah, you get a little shook and it's all gone, isn't it? Okay. I like that. But we come up with these things and we're clever because we tend to be a forgetful people. And because we're a forgetful people, we need to be constantly reminded of God's goodness. And that's what Psalm 136 is all about. You know, it starts off in as Jose led us off today. You know, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. And I'm going to say that's kind of an unremarkable saying. Unremarkable, and that's kind of what you'd expect the Bible to tell you. But it is a really profound thought, the idea that that we are called, given a simple directive to be thankful. And a rationale for that action, you know, because God is good. And then an explanation of the rationale. He is good because his love endures forever. That's how the psalm begins. And before we jump into, I'll read it for you. Or if you have your Bibles open or your Bible app open, you can read along with me. But it starts here, and then it goes into a repetition. This phrase, his love endures forever, comes up in the Bible. If you want to read your entire Bible and look for it every time it pops up, it'll be 43 times. I just saved you a lot of time and effort. Because some of you are about ready to go home and start reading your Bibles looking for that phrase. It comes up 43 times. We're going to read Psalm 136, and in Psalm 136, that phrase appears 26 times. So it happens over the course of the Bible in 43 times, but 26 of those 43 are going to be right here in this one psalm. Do you think there is a message in that? Perhaps the psalmist wants us to remember something? What might it be? It is love endures forever. So we're going to read that psalm, and I'll read it out loud if you want to read along with. I'm reading out of the NIV, so don't let that get in your way. And I'm going to do what I often don't do when I'm reading a psalm like this, when I'm reading it to myself. By habit, I catch myself jumping over the part that repeats because I've already heard it before. And so I think I can just move on. But this psalm isn't designed to be jumped over. The psalm is intentionally repetitive because repetition is a good way to get you to remember something. So hear this. Don't say, oh, he's saying it again, blah, blah, blah. Say, wow, he's saying it again. How important that must be. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. Again, this is the beginning of the psalm, and the psalm is intended to be a prayer pattern for God's people. It's going to move from this opening stanzas now into a little bit of reminding us as we look around, we should recognize that creation also points to God's unfailing love. So here it is. We'll continue on here in verse 4 through 9. It says, "To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun and the govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon then stars that govern the night, his love endures forever." The psalmist is wanting us to get into this rhythm of everything that we see would be a reminder. Everything from the stars at night to the sun in the day, everything from the creation around us would be a reminder of what? The fact that his love endures forever. This is an important piece of this psalm. This is why the people of Israel would have prayed this psalm, to be constantly reminded, no matter what they may be facing, that they belong to God and God's love for them endures forever. In verse 10, it changes a little bit. We'll continue going through as he begins to talk a little bit of their history as a people. Now, this may not be our history as a people, and so some of the things that I will mention in this may not even ring a bell for you. You may not know who Sihon, king of the Amorites, was. You may not know who Og, king of Bashan. I love those names, though. They're cool. But you may not know the stories. But these are stories going back in their history to the time of Moses, when Moses was bringing them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, following God through the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. This is all ancient history for them, but even more ancient for us. But again, it's talking about God's faithfulness over our past as a reminder about his faithfulness in the present. Verse 10, "To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever." Yeah, you can join me. I think you guys are catching on. "And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the great kings, his love endures forever. And killed the mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And he gave their land as an inheritance. His love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel. His love endures forever." See, all this talk is about what God has done in the past to reveal his goodness to his servant Israel. Even walking through these specific instances. Now, they may not be the instances that we can recognize. We may want to come up with our own instances where God has demonstrated his goodness in the past and kind of write our own psalm. How do we become to make this our own? Maybe we write our own psalm. This is a good habit to begin to go through and look back at our either life as a community or our life as an individual and say, what are some of the things where I have seen God's love enduring, even through, and again, enduring implies that it's through hardship. All of these demonstrations of God's love were noting issues and times where things were in the balance. Things were probably really scary, and yet God showed his faithfulness as he moved us through them. And finally, he concludes with this. He said, "He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And he freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. So give thanks to the God of heaven. Why? His love endures forever. I love that last phrasing of it because it is so, I think, impacting to me. He remembered us when I thought no one else would remember me. He noticed me when I thought no one else saw me. He heard my cries when no one else knew that my heart was breaking. This is the God whose love endures forever. He freed us from whatever it was that was oppressing us, that was our foe, the challenge that we had faced in the past. He's the one who brought hope in those moments when my hope was gone, when I was in full despair. He gives food to every creature. I love the way he says that. He gets such detail. I mean, think about every creature. And there's a lot of creatures. There's a lot of critters out there, and God provides food for all of them. And yet I get worried because I'm not sure what tomorrow's going to bring. So again, so we're called to give thanks because his love endures forever. Okay, I just want to just jump off from there and just say, how do we begin to make this more practical for us? How do we begin to take this idea of God's faithfulness being for us, the call to us to be grateful to what he has done, so that rather than being overwhelmed by the disappointment of what I no longer have or what I no longer seem to be able to attain, that disappointment in life, that lack that always seems to get us, instead of falling to that, how can I make myself be reminded of God's faithfulness? How can I, in the face of the anxiety of what I may lose or the anxiety of what I may not be able to retain? I mean, we all have those issues, don't we? Those days when we're fearful of what tomorrow's going to bring because we don't know what the diagnosis is going to be, or we don't know how I'm going to endure this or how to go on without that person or whatever the question mark is that we feel so threatened and that anxiousness comes up in our throat. How do we begin to make something of God's enduring love be that which holds us? You know, how do we stand in the face of the frustrations with ourselves or with others or even with God when we blow it or when others let us down or when God doesn't come through in the way we wanted when we want him to? How do we overcome that? It's by being mindful of God's loving presence. And that's what this psalm is all about. If you didn't hear it in the 26 repetitions of his love endures forever, that then you missed it. I'm sorry, you should have heard it at least one of those 26 times. But that's what the psalmist draws us to. This is how we endure those waves of anxiety or disappointment or frustration. This is how we can move forward with a greater sense of awareness of who we are and God's plans for us, because we have this undergirding of God's faithfulness to us. It's being mindful of God's loving presence, what he's done in the past, so that we can rely on him for the presence. So the last thing is this. I just want to say, so what the psalm is trying to invite us to is a growing mindfulness of God's goodness, because that will enable then gratitude to grow despite whatever it is that we're facing and fearful of. It is here that we are invited to extend our trust. If God has been faithful in the past and his love endures, not just until today or tomorrow, there's no expiration. His love endures forever. Then we can trust him and we can even be thankful for what he has given to us as a testimony of what God will do through us as we move forward. So, Father, we thank you for this invitation. God, I pray that you would help us to make it our own. That despite all of what we would wish for, all that we would want for, all that we could imagine, God, that we would find a greater sense of you and satisfaction in where we are right now and for the future that you hold for us. We thank you, God, for that unfailing love that endures not just for a time, but forever. God, help us to live in that awareness, trusting you, allowing your grace to be seen through us, and our testimony to truly be a testimony of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.